The Caldor wildfire has been burning in the Lake Tahoe area for more than a month. The flames are about 75% contained, and people are making their way back to their homes and businesses. But the impact of the wildfire will be felt on Lake Tahoe's environment for a long time. Scientists and activists have worked for decades to keep Tahoe's famous blue waters clear. Now there is concern that falling ash may cloud the water and cause some environmental problems. Jesse Patterson, Chief Strategy Officer with the League to Save Lake Tahoe, is tracking those issues. Jesse, welcome back to State of Nevada.
Good to be back, Joe. Nice to chat today.
You too. Give us a visual. Where is the Caldor fire burning right now in relation to the lake? How far away? What's the air like there right now?
Yeah, the fire, there's still hot spots here and there. It's not an imminent threat at all to the lake or the town from the fire. But the smoke came back with a vengeance today. We had a couple clear days because of the wind, but today it's right back to unhealthy air and you can't really see much.
Wow. And the lake itself, what does it look like? Is it clear and blue, or what's going on there?
Not as blue as we're used to seeing. And there's ash on the beach and we're seeing a few things floating around, and the measurements for lake clarity are lower than we typically find this year as well. So the smoke is impacting it as we speak today.
So your immediate concerns for the lake are what?
Well, how long is this going to last? How long will the smoke and ash stay in the lake? Is it a long-term effect or a short-term effect? And then actually a little more in complex is how will the ash and smoke affect algae growth and food web dynamics in the lake, which could last a lot longer than just the ash itself.
Well, what kind of experiences do other or have other lakes in that region had when there have been other major fires in the area? Like, is there scientific knowledge or scientific research on how ash does affect a lake?
Fortunately, yes, this has been looked at for a while in other lakes, but not with this level of detail and this specific of a question of how does it affect algae and how long will those impacts last? So there is a study going on right now that us and others are helping to fund to answer those very questions about how intense fires with this amount of smoke for this long of time can affect clarity, algae, and a lot of the things we care about here, which is it being clear and blue and pristine.
Yeah, and again, that clarity is famous. What about animals in the lake? What about fish? How are they impacted by ash?
Hard to know. It is a complex system. So if you're affecting algae growth in any way, you're then affecting what eats the algae and then the fish that eat them. So it affects the food web. We just don't know exactly how quite yet.
And I do want to go back to algae. Algae growth is a big problem in lakes really around this country. How could ash, you know, spur growth or more growth of algae?
Great question. It's kind of twofold. The smoke actually blocks UV light, which would normally kill algae in the shallow waters. So you might see more algae growing in the shallow areas of Tahoe that we're not used to. And then also the ash itself provides nutrients for algae to grow more abundantly and for longer periods of time. So a new input of nutrients that could feed algae for longer periods. So a couple ways, and really we're trying to figure out specifically what those are with this study.
You know, Jesse, we talked with you back in April about algae growth and some of the unique ways that you're trying to stop the growth of different aquatic animals in the area or invasive species there. And more, it seems like you're dealing with a lot of threats to the lake from climate change. Does it feel like a losing battle?
I certainly hope not. Tahoe's too important for it to be a losing battle, and I don't believe it is, but it is coming from all sides. Our concern with the aquatic invasive plants is they're bringing nutrients out of the sediments into the water to feed algae. And now we have nutrients raining down from above with the ash that could feed algae. And algae affects the clarity of the water. And you don't want to be on the beach with some slimy green stuff on the shore. You want clear, pristine water. So what brought us all to Tahoe is at risk. And climate change has really elevated that risk. And we need to open our eyes and use this as a wake-up call to really advance our efforts to keep Tahoe blue.
And are the people in the area supportive of this? I mean, is this something everybody's talking about?
Certainly are. I mean, the immediate conversations are about being back at home, being grateful for the firefighters and that we have a place to come home. But certainly the conversation is pivoting quite quickly to how do we ensure this doesn't happen again? And if it does, making sure it doesn't threaten the very reason we're here.
We talked about the impact of the fire on the famously clean waters of Lake Tahoe. Wild animals are also hurting. The Lake Tahoe Wildlife Care Center is assisting animals that were injured or displaced. Denise Upton is the animal care director. Denise, welcome to State of Nevada.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you, Denise. Before we get into this, I want to give listeners an idea of what you're dealing with. When we called you to talk about this, you had to go suddenly because someone had just brought in a porcupine whose quills had been burned or singed. So many of the animals there were truly at the mercy of this fast-moving fire. But Denise, what is the Wildlife Care Center, and first of all, what does it do?
We rehabilitate and release orphaned and injured wildlife in a large area, not just Lake Tahoe, including huge areas out towards Quincy and in that direction. So with all these fires, we're always waiting to get a call to see if there's wildlife in need. Fortunately, it isn't like a lot of people think that we're taking in hundreds of burned animals. It's after the fire. They kind of come out into neighborhoods. The ones that make it are the ones that don't get away, and those are the ones that we end up helping.
I want to talk about some of those animals. Lake Tahoe is known. We know about black bears. Now we know about porcupines. But what other wildlife are we talking about?
Oh, we have everything here. You know, we've got raccoons, squirrels, pine martens, you know, all sorts of birds, raptors. We just took in a golden eagle from up near the Quincy area, not burned, but a lot of it's not directly burned from the fire, but indirectly, lack of food. So we see that happening a lot, like with the raptors. They just get out there and there's no habitat left and there's no way to get food.
Now, when the Caldor fire started, you already had animals in your care. About how many and what did you do? Because you had to evacuate. So what did you do?
We had fortunately gotten a grant for an evacuation purposes, and we'd gotten a stock trailer and a lot of portable moving boxes for the animals. So when we decided it was time to go, we had practiced, and we had about 42 animals, raccoons, coyotes, our educational ambassadors, our eagle, I have a porcupine for educational purposes, birds, squirrels, all sorts of things. So we loaded them up and we were off and running within an hour to get ahead of things because we didn't want to get stuck in a traffic jam, which happened later. You know, people were sitting 4 and 5 hours, and with animals, it was hot in a crate. It's just no good for them.
Where'd you go?
We actually went down the hill. Highway 50 was the only way out. We had one highway open. So we went down to a friend's ranch and kind of regrouped. And then we ended up taking the animals to different places back into California, 4 different places. UC Davis took our raptors. Stanislaus Wildlife Center took our coyotes and raccoons. I have a friend in Half Moon Bay that has a place called Wild Minds that they do education. They took the educational owls and porcupine, and then Sierra Wildlife Care down in Diamond Springs took the little squirrels and birds. So we spent a couple days driving around delivering animals to these great places that offered their help.
Wow. Denise Upton is the animal care director for Lake Tahoe Wildlife Care Center. The center was forced to evacuate staff and animals under its care as the Caldor fire burned into the South Lake Tahoe region. The team's back now and looking for animals that need help after surviving the wildfire. Denise, once you got back up and running, what kinds of calls were you getting?
Well, it seems like it's the week of the porcupine because we're on our third porcupine. You know, those are the animals that don't move fast and they can't get away from the fire. I know there were some bears that we got calls on when we were evacuated. We weren't allowed back in, but I believe that the Wildlife Disaster Network out of UC Davis came in and got some animals, and they're caring for them. Our first porcupine was eyes and face burns and all the quills burned off. The second one had, you know, real severe burns on its feet and undersides. Our veterinarian has applied the tilapia fish skin treatment where he sews it actually on their feet, and it has a lot of collagen in it. It provides relief from pain, and it also heals very quickly. And just yesterday morning, I got another call on another porcupine that I went and got. People call and say they're walking slow and they're walking funny. Well, porcupines do walk slow and they walk funny, so you never really know if they're injured. Well, this one was, again, burned feet, so we're caring for him also. There must have been a high concentration of porcupines over in the Christmas Valley area because every one of them came from the same general area.
When the animals go through something like that, you know, these are wild, wild animals.
Yeah,
they're not domesticated. I just wonder, because you're so used to working with wild animals, is their demeanor different?
Yeah, I mean, they don't know you're trying to help them.
Right.
You know, so it's, porcupines don't like to be picked up.
Yeah, so, and who would want to pick one up?
Yeah, they're, I mean, the one has, that all the quills were burned off. He's pretty easy to manage because he has to wait for his quills to grow back, and he doesn't have a lot of sharp points, but the other two still had significant amounts. So we develop ways to do this, and if it's something like the applying the fish skin, our veterinarian sedates them and calms them down. But these guys are amazing. They started eating and drinking immediately. So, again, along with being burned, there was no food out there for them. And so a lot of it's just getting back the a food source for them and able to hydrate them.
Yeah, and a lot of people left their homes. The animals themselves were looking for habitat after their habitats were burned and food.
Right.
So are you seeing a lot of people now coming into contact with animals they've never been in contact with before?
We haven't got a lot of calls on that except for the bears. I think a lot of the, you know, the cubs, all bear cubs, black bears are born the same time. So they're right now they're 9-10 months old. And they're starting to kind of act like teenagers, splitting away from their mom for a while, and then the mom kind of walks off one direction. And I think during all the chaos and the smoke and everything, a lot of cubs got separated. So we did get an awful lot of calls on young bears running around, not being able to find their mom for a while. And eventually they end up back together again. But it's also problematic along with the drought. It's hyperphagia, which is the period before hibernation for bears, where they have to eat thousands of calories a day. Well, a lot of these areas, there's nothing out there. And they had free rein when we were all gone, that, you know, garbage that wasn't secured, nobody yelling at them and telling them to get out. And so they kind of took liberty to find the calories in very inventive ways.
I guess that's one way of putting it.
Yes.
So you have to find homes for some of these animals that have lost their homes. Animals can be territorial. How do
right.
you do that in a safe way? Where are you able to find homes when a lot of their habitat's burned?
This is one of our biggest issues right now. We have 10 raccoons and 7 coyotes in our care. You know, coyotes are animals that need rabbits and mice and that kind of stuff to exist. And we're going to have to really struggle to find a suitable habitat to release these guys because we had the Tamarack fire right before the Caldor fire. So that area over there was always a great release area. And now we've kind of lost that habitat. And like I said, drought, we got in, you know, half a dozen red-tail hawks this spring that were in starvation mode. And talking to some biologists, they said the high temperatures along with the smoke kept the rodents underground during the day. And so these birds couldn't find food. And so, I mean, that was the start of it. And it just hasn't been great since. So we've got to, you know, talk to biologists at Fish and Wildlife. You talk to other centers and see if they have any areas. They have to be released within so many miles of where they were found, which really does kind of compound the problem. But we're gonna do our best to try to find good release sites for everybody.
Denise Upton is the Animal Care Director for Lake Tahoe Wildlife Care Center. The center was forced to evacuate staff and animals under its care as the Caldor fire burned into the South Lake Tahoe region. They're back now, and they're looking for animals that need help after surviving the wildfire. And Denise, last year a report estimated a 70% drop worldwide in the population of fish, birds, amphibians, and reptiles since 1970. The blame was put on habitat destruction, overexploitation, invasive species, pollution, climate change, and they connected it to wildfires. I wonder, for this fire and the displaced animals and those that were killed, is there going to be or has there already been some kind of accounting or counting?
I think that comes much later. I know California Fish and Wildlife would be the ones that do the counts on these animals. We do a lot of reporting to them for any diseases that pop up or anything, that we see. But they're the main focus. We never know from year to year what we're going to get. One year we'll get, 12 bears in our care. And the next year we'll have 5 otters. And last year we had bobcats. We had no bobcats this year, but we, have quite a few raccoons and coyotes. So it just fluctuates from year to year for us. And we never really can say why we get a particular species in a particular year. It's hard to put your finger on.
You give a lot of information to the community so they can coexist with the wildlife in that area. What are you telling them now about when they come upon an animal?
Well, be cautious because, we don't know if these animals have been displaced or not. We're having a kind of a big problem with, we've had a lot of bears hit by cars. People driving, fast. And like I said, the bears were displaced, kind of running around crazy for a while. Fortunately, bears are really tough. They can get hit by a car and just run off and they seem to heal. But it's a traumatic experience for the person and the animal. So, just be aware that there could be animals out there that it's hard to tell if they're injured until you really bring them in and do a good exam. Like with the porcupine, looking at them, they look fine. And once we get them in, we look and they've got third degree burns on their feet and, in horrible pain. So, if you find anything or see anything that looks unusual, give us a call. We'll send somebody out and take a look and determine if this animal really needs help or they're just passing through and they need to go on their way. We do, fortunately the whole city county of South Lake Tahoe was not burned. We have a lot of good habitat and some of them are just moving through trying to find better habitat.
And how about that porcupine that was singed or burned when we first called you? How's that porcupine doing?
That one is doing great. He had his eyes were burned, and you have to actually peel those scabs off and open up and get new skin, which is kind of gruesome looking. But once you get that new skin and you treat it, it seems to be heal pretty fast. And that particular one is doing great. It started eating right away. That one is the easiest one to deal with. The second one we got is the vocal one. Every time I look at that one, she screams at me. You wouldn't even know that porcupines make noise, but she's a grumbler. She's just some of those videos we got. She'll be eating her food and talking at the same time. They're really interesting. They're very, very vocal little things when they want to be.